Good morning. It's good to see each of you present this morning. Good to have a good number to start with. We're glad that you're here. And those who are tuned in online, we're glad that you're with us today also. Last week, we talked about three institutions that God had designed, the home, the government, and the church. And we started talking about one of those institutions, talked about the home. One part of the home in particular, we talked about the husband and how that what he must do to be pleasing to God, the husband as God would have him to be. And today we're going to talk about another member of that institution. Today we're talking about the wife and the kind of wife that she needs to be pleasing in the sight of God. If you look up the word wife, of course, it's defined as a married woman, specifically a woman in the relationship with her husband. And so this is what we're talking about today. And we talked about the man or the husband and his role in the family and that institution that God started last week. If we go back to Genesis chapter 2, we see where that institution was, where that institution began. If we start with about verse 18 of chapter 2 of the book of Genesis, it says, "And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground the Lord had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave name to all the cattle and the birds of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord had taken from man he made into a woman, and he brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And then God says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Now, I want you to think for just a moment and try to put yourself in Adam's shoes at this particular time. He had named all the different beasts of the field, the cattle and the birds of the air. Each one of them, there was the male and the female. But for Adam, after all the naming was done, there was not one found like him. He was by himself. He was alone. And God said, this is not going to work. This is not good. So God said, we'll create a helper for him. And he caused Adam to sleep, and he took a rib from his side, and he made a woman and brought her unto the man. Now, I want you to think for just a moment what this must have looked like to Adam when he brought this woman to him. Something he'd never seen anything like before. Never before had he seen a woman. There had not been one. God created now a woman and brought her to man, and you can imagine what she must have looked like to him when he brought her there. And I can just hear in his voice when he says, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. There was nothing else like her in the world. She was special to him. She was something that God had created especially for him to be a helper. There was no other that could take her place. And I say whenever a man chooses a woman to be his wife, that this is the way she is to be to him. There's not another like her in the world. To him, she's the greatest that ever has been, the only woman in the world as far as his God is concerned. And if we have that type of attitude, then we're going to be more like God would have us to be. So here's the woman now that was brought to the man. She was created for the man that she might be a helper to him. She could be like him. Here was in the human species now, he had male and female just like he did in all the other species that he had created. And so now we talk today about the home. Man alone was incomplete, as was said in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone, and I will make a helper comparable to him. And that's what God did. So God made a helper for him from his own rib and brought her to Adam. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 33. God said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So this is a union that is different from all the rest. Whenever you choose someone to be your companion, then you become one, and you think as one, you act as one. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." And so we know that God created woman to be a helper for man. It was to be good for man. God saw that this was something that man needed. In the Proverbs in chapter 31 and verse 10, the last part of that verse, it says, talking about the woman, that her value or her worth is far above rubies. So you cannot put a price on a good woman. And this is what he was showing here in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 10. Now, before the lesson is over, we're going to go back to Proverbs 31 and read several verses there before this lesson is over today. It says concerning the woman that her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. And so this is what, whenever the woman is what she ought to be in the sight of God, then she has praise not only from God, but from her own family, her children, and her husband. And now we talked about last week about the husband, and we talked about for him to be the husband that he ought to be, that he had to wear many different hats, many different jobs, or many different requirements that he had. Well, it's the same way with the woman. So let's talk about today and study about the woman, the wife, as God would have her. And she wears many hats just like the man did, maybe different in a form, but yet there are many, many tasks that she has to accomplish as the wife, as the woman. First of all, she wears the hat of being a woman. Yesterday she was a child. She was in home under her father and mother and under their rule and under their guide and instructions from them. Today she is a woman of her own. And so here now she has to wear the hat of being a woman and not just a child in home with her parents. So she must be willing to cut the apron strings, as we talked about last week, and like God said, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." So she must be willing to leave father and mother and to cleave to her husband, and that they can be one in the sight of God. Be willing to leave father and mother and to cleave to her husband. Now, that may be easier said than done. In some cases, it's kind of hard because the parents don't want to give up the children, and so they want to hang on to them, and this causes problems. Many marriages have been destroyed because someone was not willing to leave father and mother and to be joined to their companion. Sometimes, as I said, it's the parents' fault because they just don't want to let them go, not willing to let them go. And it takes time for a person to make the transition from a child to a woman. You know, you don't just do that overnight. You may think that you can, but there's a lot involved in changing from being a child where you have no responsibility or very little responsibility to someone who has all the responsibility of the home and the way that the home goes as far as the woman is concerned, and the wife in the home. So it takes time for a person to make the transition from child to woman. So she wears the hat then of being a woman. And it's kind of scary, just like we said with the man. One day he's a boy, the next day he's the man of his house, and he has a lot of responsibility and a lot of obligations that's upon him, and it's a scary thing. And it takes a while for him to adjust and to take the place. You know, it's hard for a young man to realize himself to be in the place where his father has been all the time. And it's hard for him to see himself where his father was and making the decisions that he has to make. And the same thing is true with a woman. It's hard for her to realize that now she's in the position where her mother was all these years. And maybe she didn't appreciate all the things that the mother did and the responsibilities that the mother had. And now all of a sudden she's right there where the mother was, and she has all these responsibilities, and so what do I do with them? And she has to learn. So it takes time then to transition from a girl to a woman. She wears the hat of being a wife. Now this is one thing that we talked about a while ago when we read from Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 24, where God established the home and brought the woman to the man. And then he said, "For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they should be one flesh." So she wears the hat then of being a wife. This is something that is full of responsibility, as was said before. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And so this is what God intended. God intended that the woman be a helper to man, be something that was good, where they could be together, they could work together, do the things that God would have them to do, and they would glorify him. And this was the main thing, that they were to glorify him in the home. And I say, whenever husband and wife work together, as God has said for them to, and has written in his word, that this is the happiest place that you could ever be. I don't think there's anything that's more like heaven on earth than a home where the husband and wife love one another. They work together to please one another and to please God. And I don't suppose there's anything more like hell on earth than one where the husband and wife do not get along. They do not love one another. They don't try to act in the way in which God would have them to. And so this is what we're talking about today, that the husband and the wife, they're to act in the way that God has designed in his word. And if they do, then it's going to work perfectly, and everything is going to be great as God has designed. God didn't design things that didn't work right. They were all good, and to be to fulfill his requirements that he had given unto them. She submits to her husband. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24, it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." The word submit means to yield to or arrange under another. Now, this is not talking about inferiority. It's not talking about that the woman is less of a person than man. It's not talking about that man is more important than the woman. It's just showing that this is the place that God designed for the woman and the place that God designed for the man. And we're to stay in the place, or to try to fulfill our responsibilities in the place that God has designed for us to be. And some women don't want to stand by their man because they want to be the man. They want to be the one who calls all the punches and says what happens and what goes and tells everybody what to do. And that's not where God placed the woman. That was not the responsibility that he gave to her. He said that the husband is to be the head of the house, or head of the wife. And so we are to realize that, and we've said that's not inferiority. It's not saying that the wife is any less of a person than the man is, or any less important than the man is. She may be more important in some ways than the man. And when she works in the way that God has designed, and in the place that God has designed for the woman, then there's glory to God, and there's also glory to her in working in the way that she does. Her submission does not give the husband the right to misuse her submission. We do not misuse. As a matter of fact, he must treat her with dignity, with respect, with love and honor and gentleness, as the Bible shows, and this is what God intended. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 3. "Let the husband render to the wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband." In 1 Corinthians, Paul said in chapter 11, verses 8 and 9, For man is not from the woman, but the woman from the man. Nor was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. I think woman ought to feel special because she was created for a special purpose. She was created for the man. Man was incomplete without the woman, and God saw that. And he created a creature that could help him, that make him complete, to make his life what it ought to be, to where he could glorify God. He could be more as God would have him to be day by day. And this is what we are to try to be. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12, he says, "I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over men, but to be in subjection or in silence." So the woman, as we said, she has a role to play, and God has placed her in a special role. And in that special role, I think she receives, as we said before, honor not just from her husband, but from her children, and also from God, by fulfilling her responsibility that she has as a wife or as a woman. The next hat she wears is the hat of being a teacher. And we know that in Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, it shows that the aged women are to be sober, and they're to be not to given to much wine. They're to be teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that they may glorify God in all things. And so we know then that the woman is to be a teacher. Now we know that also that her teaching is restricted. There are certain areas that she's not allowed to teach. She's not allowed to stand in the pulpit as I'm doing this morning and preach a sermon. She's not allowed to teach a Bible class that is over men. Now that's one thing that God shows here, that she is being in subjection to them. But she is to be a teacher. God shows that she's to be a teacher. She's to be a teacher of good things. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, it says, "In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel and priority and moderation, not with broided hair or braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women possessing godliness with good works. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence." So God restricts the woman as to what she can do as far as teaching is concerned. But there's plenty of teaching that she can do. The younger women, the children, and we see in just about every congregation, the youngest class that we have is usually taught by some godly sister who wants to teach the children what they need to know. And so this is something that a woman has a responsibility of teaching. And even though she may be restricted in certain areas, you know, we'll have like Aquila and Priscilla, as they took aside and taught the gospel more fully. And so this is what we can do as husband and wife. We may be able to take somebody aside and teach. She may be able to help in the teaching of people like this, but never to be able to stand and teach a class where she's over men and all this kind of thing, where she has that responsibility. God shows that is a restriction from her teaching. But if she teaches the things that she can, she's going to be busy enough. She's not going to have time for other anyway. And then she wears the hat of being a keeper at home, or a homemaker, as some translations would say. Titus chapter 2 and verse 5, aged women were to teach the younger women to be keepers at home, or homemakers. Keeper is one that's domesticated, a worker in the home, as we talked about. And I told you we would read from Proverbs before we got through our lesson. And now's a good time for us to do that. So if you'll turn to Proverbs chapter 31, and I'm going to read beginning with verse 13 in chapter 31, and we'll read down through almost the rest of the chapter. Proverbs chapter 31, beginning with, well, I'm going to back up to about verse 10 and start so we can get the full meaning there. Chapter 31, verse 10. "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. Her heart, the heart of her husband, surely safely trust in her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household, a portion for her maid servants. She considers a field and buys it. From the profit of she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hand to the distaff and holds the spindle. She extends her hands to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed in scarlet. She makes tapestries for herself, and clothing is fine linen and purple. her husband is known in the gates and when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches out for the way of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gate. Now this is the work we're talking about, the keeper at home, and how that there's so much to do in the home. And here's a virtuous woman that's described in Proverbs 31 as to how that she does. And how many times have we seen women like this? And talks about her light, her lamp goes not out by night. And I've wondered a lot of times back when I was a boy growing up, and a lot of times when I went to bed, my mother was still up working, and she'd be up when I got up in the morning, she'd be working. It's almost as if her light did not go out at night. And she was one who could take nothing and make something out of it. And that's about what women have to do when they're keepers in the home or take care of the home. There's so much to do. And to help with the husband, you know, the husband is responsible for providing for his own, and the wife can do a lot toward helping him provide by how she handles things that he may bring in. Somebody has said the wife can throw more out the back door than the husband can bring in the front door, and I guess that's right. So this woman, the virtuous woman, was one who was very careful in the things that she did. She used what she had. She took with her own hands and worked that might be there. Her servants might be clothed. She wouldn't have to worry about the winter with her household because they were all taken care of. They were all fed and taken care of from that standpoint as well. She is the guide of her house. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14, therefore I desire that younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. So God intends that the woman be the guide of her house. Now the husband is the head of the house. He's the one that's responsible to see that everything goes in the right way. But the woman is also responsible for being the guide of the house and running the house in the way that it ought to be. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 1 says that every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her own hands. And so builds her house by work, by the things that she does. This is important work to be done, and there's much important work to be done in the home as a keeper. It's said that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, and I think that's true in a lot of respects. The woman is responsible for a lot of things, and the world tries to portray the keeper at home as one who is trapped in an unfulfilling life, kind of like a bird that's trapped in a net and can't get out. But I say that the woman that does as God says and serves in the special place where God has placed her, she receives a lot of honor, special honor, not just from man, but from God also. He honors her for her working there. And just think about now, we talk about all the work that needs to be done in the home. Usually the first teaching that our children get is from the mother in the home. The mother, there is a special... She has a special requirement and to love her husband and to love her children, Titus chapter 2 and verse 4. Love and care for a child, feed, clothe, show special love and concern for children. And the close tie that the mother has with a child when they're very, very young, and this gives her opportunity to teach that other people do not have. The first training of children gets, the first training that children get is from the mother in the home. Just think about the opportunity that you have to teach them of God. Teach all the characters of the Bible. What about the little boy David, and what about Joseph, and what about the strong man Samson, And what about the giant Goliath and all these stories? Talk about Joseph and what happened to him. And all the characters of the Bible that we can think about, the wise man Solomon. You can just go on naming the ones that you can teach, and how that your children will delight in those stories and they learn them. You may think, well, they're not old enough to learn these things, but you'd be surprised. By the time they start talking, they know these things. And it was kind of amazing back years ago, our youngest daughter, I was preaching at Trinity when she was born. And one of the men of the congregation there sat right in front of us at church. And he said it was amazing to him that she could sing the songs before she could talk. She would hum them or mumble them, but she had the tune to the song where he knew the song that she was singing. And that was a lot because that's what we did a lot in the home. We sung a lot. And we'd go to gospel meetings. We'd sing all the way there and all the way back. And so she learned even before she could say the words to the song, she could hum the tune and take the tune to the song to where people would know what it was. Well, our children, regardless of being how small they are, they learn early in life. And you'd be surprised, some of the little ones, you start talking about the books of the Bible, and they can pronounce books of the Bible and learn books of the Bible that you don't even know yourself. And it's amazing how much they can learn. And they do learn. So the wife has a grave responsibility as a mother. She has the opportunity, the requirement of being loving her husband, loving her children, teaching the children, doing what she can to see that the home is what it ought to be, and that her children are brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so with the husband and wife being what they ought to be, then why would the children not be that way? You know, we need to try to be an example before them and set the example for them. If I want my children to read the Bible and study the Bible, then I must read and study it before them and let them see me reading and studying the Bible and let them know how important it is that they study God's Word, and that they read the Bible daily and study the Bible daily, that they pray to God daily. And the prayer is important, and we need to be teaching and training our children, not to depend on someone else to train them for us. We have that responsibility. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4. And so we are to teach and train our children as we should. You know, God placed them in our hands. Our children are a gift from God. They belong to Him. But He turns them over to us to raise to full grown size, to train them to where they would be what they need to be, to where they would live a godly life, that they would teach their children whenever they have children, they would teach their children to be what they ought to be. This is what God intended, and when we do that, then we have fulfilled our responsibility that God has given unto us. The lesson is yours this morning. There's a lot more that could be said. We could talk about this for a long time, but I think we've said enough this morning to realize what God intended for the wife to be and what God intended for husbands to be. Now, I won't be here next Sunday, the Lord willing. I'll be in Kentucky. But the following Sunday, I'll be back, and I plan at that time to finish the rest of the home. We're going to talk about parents and children next time in our lesson, so let's have that in our minds as we come back Sunday week. We'll have the final lesson on the home with the children and parents and their responsibilities to God and to each other to be the kind of home that God expects that divine institution to be that He established. The lesson is yours this morning. If you need to obey the gospel of Christ, then there's no better time than now to do so. If you haven't been baptized, the baptistry is filled. There's clothing that's provided. Everything is ready. No reason for you not to obey the gospel today if you're ready to obey the gospel. If you have already been baptized but have not lived in the way that you ought to and haven't fulfilled your responsibility as husband or wife or as a child of God, then today would be the day for you to come and make right those things that are wrong in your life. You know, we're not promised another day. We have today. And God gives us this opportunity, and if we need to make correction in our life and we don't do it, and then he comes back before tomorrow, before next week, then whose fault is it? God has already done so much for us and sent his only son into the world to die on the cross that we might have everlasting life. And if I turn my back upon that and say no to it, then whose fault is it? It's not God's fault, but it's mine. If you need to obey the gospel today, think about it seriously and come while we stand and as we sing together.